because resilience isn't about resisting change, but learning to stabilize yourself while constantly being within it. Happy Friday. Welcome back to the Morning Coffee Podcast. My name is Rick Alexander. I did an interview recently for the Special Forces Experience. We did it as a podcast, and we really talked about the science of becoming a more robust human. And I did that with Dr. Mike T. Nelson. We honestly talk about breath work. We talk about managing stress, mental toughness exercises. We talk about metabolic flexibility, just how to create yourself into a more robust human. And so if you guys want to check that out, you can go to specialforcesexperience.com to check it out. You can also click on the link. I'll link it up in the show notes of this episode and also in my bio at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. So it's funny, we did that episode, and I think it was a great episode because he has such a, not to use the word robust, but he has such a robust background and academic understanding. And so I think it was a really cool mix of me and my real world experience in the military and different times that I've had to battle through adversity and talking with him and his real academic background. And so we really come together to create a cool audio experience in that. So what's interesting is I think now what you're seeing is a lot of people, I think in the last, I don't even know, like last week, I've seen so many articles about surviving the apocalypse and all of this stuff about how to create yourself into what we're calling a more robust or resilient human. And so I do hope that you go check that out. I think it would be great. I also, though, want to talk about, like, what does that mean? So today, I do want to break down, what does it mean to become a more resilient and robust human? To me, this requires an interesting mix of different tools, you know, and I think at times it requires the hardness built on strength that we often associate with people who are able to make it through difficult times. And yet it also requires us to know how and when to soften so that we might be able to make our partner feel safe or our children heard. At times we have to be action oriented, knowing how and when certain opportunities are knocking, yet that's not all the time, and thus we need to have it within ourselves to find patience so that we might be able to spot opportunities that are, you know, not so obvious. And we have to be connected to the world so that we can read the environment and know what tool it is that we need. And yet, we have to be connected to our own depth so that we can travel in a direction that is authentic to us and that we're actually happy with. Resilience and adaptability are just as much about discernment as they are about any of the rugged qualities that we often associate with the post-apocalyptic heroes from the movies or the articles that you read about. And this is because we exist in a three-dimensional reality where threat can come from anywhere. This is what's important to understand. Anything that would want to take you out doesn't necessarily, and this is what we're finding, so right now is perhaps the best example of this we could ask for. All of the people who have a 600-pound deadlift and a stockpile of weapons aren't nearly as safe as someone that can just sit in their living room right now and just not move, right? Because threats can come from anywhere. And so sometimes we allow pop culture to direct what we believe is important. And so we've overdeveloped, let's say, physicalities and underdeveloped our psyches. I think that's what we see a lot in people, like we see a lot in the preppers. It's like you think that the apocalypse could happen in certain ways that pop culture has warranted. And I know I'm using the word apocalypse, which is ridiculously dramatic right now, but I just mean things not being the way that they were or that we expected them to be. And as we're seeing right now, like life just sometimes looks profoundly different. And this is because what it actually means to build yourself into a more resilient and adaptable human is to learn to stabilize yourself in constant change. To exist in this place of flux so that what you are is always evolving. And so I'm always talking about the cycles of death and rebirth or order and then into chaos and then into reorder. This is the cycle that like all of life is going through. And the life we live from birth to death is a series of pivots and changes and transformation. And so tragedy often ruins us, not because it's tragic, but because the way we've conceptualized the world didn't leave room for it. So we held on to our expectations, and when the world gave us something different than the way that we had ordered it, we have a meltdown. And so this is something that is called your coherence. And I talk about this in my course quite a bit because in the Clarity Academy or in the trials, we're actually trying to build a better sense of psychological coherence. if we hold on too strictly to the way that things are, then we find that when they're not that way, it's actually not the thing itself that's a problem. It's actually the way that we've conceptualized it. And I heard Dr. Martini, a psychologist, talking about this the other day. So basically, like, he was talking about this Iranian dignitary who had died, and I think the U.S. government had essentially helped in getting rid of this guy, right? And so what's interesting is in the U.S. it was celebrated, like, this guy is gone. And then in Iran, he was really respected and loved, and so they were actually mourning him. And so the point that he was making, though, is that, so you can see, it actually had nothing to do with the coming and going of this one individual, but it is our perception of it which decides the way that that thing is. And so we're doing that to our life constantly. And so oftentimes when we fall into these moments of chaos, what happens is we lose the ability to order our world, and we just never emerge with an order that we're happy with. And so if you can let go of the way that things are, you can learn to stabilize yourself amidst the chaos. And that's what becoming resilient is actually all about. Because we trick ourselves into thinking we've gained a modicum of stability, or even that we have a right to that stability, because we've learned to pave over the jungle and we've created boundaries around the wild. But those boundaries are not fixed. They're always being penetrated by the unknown. And so we're in this constant state of flux. And so in order to constantly be in accordance with that state, we have to open ourselves up to whatever comes at us by letting go of what we expected and asking ourselves the right questions when we start down the road. And so this means that to become a more robust, resilient, adaptable human, someone that can handle the apocalypse or whatever else comes at us, this means that we should teach ourselves to deal with everything from heartache to armed robbers. Both have the ability to take us out, and thus our need to prepare for any and all of them is actually imperative. And of course, in last week's episode, that's why I talked about preparing for these difficult times when life is easy, right? Like, that's the time that you want to do it. And so all of us that have been doing this work are probably finding a bit more stability. But it's like that saying, the best time to plant a tree was yesterday. The second best time is right now. And so this is the real beauty of this work. And you know, it's interesting because Daniel and I were listening to Mark Groves' podcast. And he was talking about how people being quarantined together, you know, some people are finding this to be much more difficult than they thought. And so some relationships are doing way better, and then some relationships are doing way worse. Danielle and I were kind of talking about whether ours has gotten worse or better, and kind of answer that we both came to rather quickly was, well, it hasn't really changed, because a lot of the triggers that probably come up to people when they're in close quarters, we've actually made it a habit of working through. And so we kind of are always working through our triggers and shadows and stuff. And so they're not really seeing a change, right? But if you didn't plant the tree last week, you just start planting it now, right? And so you could always have this opportunity, because remember, heartache to armed robbers, threat can come from anywhere. And then the last part I wanted to mention is the need for a spiritual component in our lives and how that often helps with this resilience we're attempting to build. This is a place that my own work has led me. And so, I mean, I'm sure you've noticed, I talk about the soul quite a bit, because most of us feel this like deep feeling like something is missing within us. And if we ever try to figure out what that is, we may or may not be happy with what we found. That's kind of what I'm seeing. Sometimes we go to church and can't buy whatever they're selling, whatever that particular preacher or whoever it is saying, right? And sometimes we go to meditate, but we can't quiet the mind enough to really break through. And so we kind of abandon it. I know I abandoned it for years before I really got a good practice. And typically, when we pacify ourselves with drugs or alcohol or endless work or endless doing, it's out of frustration and the inability to satiate that feeling. And I use the term satiate because I've come to understand that feeling as a sort of hunger. It's your own depth, your soul, if you're comfortable with the word, longing to connect with you. And of course, when it comes to pacifiers, these inherently make us less stable and resilient because we aren't always in control of the supply chain that gets them to us. Some of us are finding that out the hard way right now. So Danielle had a friend who works in the ER here in Denver. And when they created this, you know, statewide order to shut down these liquor stores, all of a sudden the emergency room saw a huge spike in people that were starting to see all these physiological side effects of not being able to get the thing that they were using to pacify themselves. And so that's just one really simple way. It's like you're giving control, the control that you need, because you don't have the ability to kind of sit in that stillness with yourself. You give that control to somebody else, you outsource it. And so you inherently become less adaptable and less resilient. you know, in the military, at least in the Special Operations Command that I worked for, you actually weren't deployable if you were dependent on a drug because you just were less resilient. Because what happens if there's a break in the supply chain and you can't get that drug, or you run out or can't get it filled for whatever reason? And so there's all these ways that we kind of outsource our own adaptability and resilience just because we haven't gained the ability to sit with ourselves. And so, you know, the main reason I believe this spiritual component matters so much is that is obviously super important. Like, I think it gives you that ability to sit in that stillness. But it also matters so much because it's just how we're set up. See, we have biological mechanisms meant to keep us safe, and we know these as our autonomic nervous system. And so when we switch into a sympathetic state to fight, flight, or freeze, we do this because it sets up a boundary between us and the world. It's protective against acute threat in order to increase the odds of our survival. But what do we do when those boundaries are penetrated? See, if your last mechanism for defense is biological, you put yourself at a bit of a disadvantage. In some cases, we don't have an acute threat, and yet we have this ever-present fear that's being pumped through the media or through our friends, and it's just constantly trying to evade us. And fear has this way of slowly breaking us down. It breaks down our immune system, it clouds our judgment, and all sorts of other things. And perhaps in this one scenario, you don't have any fear, right? Like this one thing that we're going through right now. Let's say you have zero fear about this. A lot of people do, right? But I'd push you to ask yourself if that's always going to be the case. Now, if your answer is yes, then you're vulnerable in a new way. You've lost the mechanism that was meant to keep you alive, and eventually you find that you should have been, but weren't. Thus, you ignored a valuable informational input, because that's what fear really is. It's an informational input. But when we give it too much authority over ourselves, well, we outsource our resilience to it. And so you connect with your own depth in moments of stillness. And I personally like the ancient text for this, but you can find what works for you. And that doesn't mean you have to be still in order to start. You can start by asking yourself a question and then taking a drive with no music on. And like, let me ask you that. So how many people that are listening to this would just have the really difficult ability to take a 2-hour drive with no music? Like, what would happen mentally? Where would you go? Or going for a walk and contemplating something about who you really are and why you're really here. Like, I think this is where a spiritual journey really starts, right? You're just asking, who am I, enough times to get through all the BS that the world has laid on top of you. And then you end up in this transcendental place. And as you connect with that inner depth and knowing, you gain the ability to find that stillness and perhaps even architect it. So when others become victim of their own biology, like you feel that autonomic nervous system kick on, and you start to feel the defense walls come up, you learn how to sit and ask yourself what tool you might need or what the situation is really asking of you. And in that way, you're becoming more open to adaptation. Because resilience isn't about resisting change, but learning to stabilize yourself while constantly being within it. And you know, I did want to say one thing. I know half of us are sitting around with like nothing to do right now. Like, life looks just crazy. But man, for everybody that is still working right now, healthcare workers, all of you that are continuing to go to work, and instead of working less, you're working more, and you're probably having to work sick and work through all kinds of bullshit, I just want to say thank you. You know, I know in the military, people were always saying, thank you for your service, thank you. And it's a weird thing to try to accept. But honestly, from the bottom of my heart, to all of you healthcare workers, all of you people that are keeping the mail going, the packages, everybody that's out there still doing work and producing something and giving back to society amidst a time that fear is running rampant and speculation is everywhere and the unknown is constantly present. Just want to say from the Morning Coffee Podcast in the bottom of my heart, thank you. I love you guys. I hope you have an amazing weekend. We'll talk Monday on the MCP.